Good morning. How many of you have heard of Pinterest? How many of you have spouses that like to go on Pinterest? How many of you know where this story might go? Yes. So, and a few weeks ago, well, last little while actually, we've been looking for a new dining room table. And, you know, so the ones that we would love to have, we can't afford. The ones that we can afford, we don't actually want. And so all these different things, we looked here and there and all over the place, different towns, yada, yada, yada. And then a few weeks ago, Jennifer was on Pinterest looking. Jennifer is my wife, by the way, in case you don't know. And so she was on Pinterest looking at all these different tables and ideas. And all of a sudden she goes, "Oh, Mark, come over here, look at this." And just a word of advice, if you're married and your spouse says, "Oh, look, I found something on Pinterest, come over here," don't. Unless it's recipes. If it's recipes, then go over there and totally support it. But if it's anything else, don't do that. And so I looked and I'm thinking, okay, you know what? And if you know me, I have no skills at all in terms of woodwork or what, like zero. And this picture was of this nice table, kind of a farmhouse look. And Jennifer said, "Oh, you know, you can take our old table and kind of take it apart and turn it into this nice farmhouse thing." And in a rare moment of poor judgment, I said, "That looks simple. I could do that." So I think within an hour, I don't know how many, very, very quickly, we were out shopping. We're looking at wood. We're looking at everything, right? Because Jennifer realized that this window of opportunity, I mean by me, was not going to stay open very long. So we got to go, right? And so we got all of our stuff. And anyways, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I'm putting the table. You know, stuff's going reasonably well. I'm near the end, and I've got the tabletop on the floor, and I'm putting the frame around it, and it's these 1x2s, and they're sideways, and so I'm drilling holes in them so that I can then put the screws in, right, to fasten that to the top of the table. And I had this 20,000-year-old weak cordless drill that's kind of, you know that sound where it just kind of goes, and it runs out of torque and runs out of whatever, right? So I can't get the screws in. And I'm thinking, well, this is dumb. What am I supposed to do now, right? Because this clearly is not the tool to use. What else am I going to do? I can't do it by hand. That's not going to work. And so I go, "Oh, I know. I know what else I have." So I run to the garage, and I grab my impact wrench. And if you don't know, this has a whole lot more power than one of those. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? How hard can this be? If I just kind of touch it, maybe I can just, right? And so here, and so imagine, it's this little one-inch strips of wood, right, that I'm trying to, with this tool, drill these screws in. And so I get in there, I'm thinking, if I do it just right, and I go, "Wah," and "Wah," it's all over the place, right? The wood is cracking, the screw is getting stripped, and it's just chaos, right? It's, you know, that bah, 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 sound is all over the place. I'm like, oh, and I'm thinking, here's this beautiful table that I'm trying to create for my lovely wife, and the wood is cracking, and it's just a mess. Ugh, and I go, it's not going to happen twice, is it? So I go to the next place. Not always so smart up here, right? Anyway, so you can imagine what happened. Anyways, the moral of the story in all of this is every tool has a purpose. Everything has a purpose, right? I did this again the first service. And if you have to have the right tool to do the right thing, thanks again for saving me, Jess. It's me just screwing things up again. And so if you ever come to our house, you'll come into our dining room and you'll look at the table top and you'll go, "Wow, that is a nice table." And I'll say, "Yes, thank you." But if you ever to look underneath, you go, "Why are there all these metal little L brackets holding everything? Why is this?" And it just looks like it's Frankenstein underneath, but it looks beautiful on top. So the moral that I learned, though, is you have to have, every tool has a purpose. You have to use it for the purpose with which it was intended. If you don't, it's chaos. I'm saying that simply to make this point. Westwood Church also has a purpose. If you ever thought that Westwood was here just because, there was a vacant lot and somebody thought they'd build something and we all just kind of show up and do whatever and hopefully feel better after than what we felt coming in. If that's what you think Westwood is, if that's what you think the purpose is, you're totally wrong. Westwood actually has a very specific purpose. And here we are, in the middle of kind of beginning of September, launching things again. And so I just want to take a little bit of time and say, so what is the point of Westwood? Why are we here? What's our purpose? And introduce a few people that have some roles in helping us achieve our purpose. Now, if you're a real nerd or a keener or whatever, you can go on our website and you can search for our mission and our vision and our values, and you can find all kinds of stuff. you know, our vision statement, our mission, our five foundational values, five ministry values, and all kinds of stuff. I'm not going to talk about any of that. I'm going to summarize it a little more interestingly, I hope, this morning. But if you want to really dig into that because you like that kind of stuff, just go on our website. But in essence, Westwood exists for just three reasons. And all three of these reasons actually come from the words of Jesus himself. The first two things that I'm going to say come from, it's a couple places in the Gospels, but Mark 12 is one of those places, and the other one is Matthew 28, the last few words of Jesus. And so let me tell you what they are, and then I'll tell you why these are our purpose. The first reason that Westwood Church exists is simply to love God. Now, that may sound kind of weird to some of you. Some of you may go, well, yeah, of course, what else would it be? Let me tell you why we say that, though. There's a story in Mark chapter 12, where this person asks Jesus, kind of corners them and says, so what's the greatest commandment? Of all the things that we're supposed to do as followers of God, what's number one? And Jesus answers, but he actually says two things and kind of combines them into a number one. And the first thing that he says, though, is this. You are to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Basically, love God with everything that you have. Don't love God kind of half-heartedly or kind of love God with this part but not that part. Whatever you have, your attitude, your emotions, your resources, your skills, your everything that you have, love God with that. Be all in. Be relentless. Be passionate. Love God. Westwood Church exists to love God. I'm going to talk a little bit in a couple minutes just about one of our teaching series coming up that has to do with loving God. But we exist to love God. But we don't exist just to love God. We exist also to love others. And you could actually argue the point theologically that if you don't love others, do you really actually fully love God? Because what Jesus says, the very next sentence is, yeah, love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, love everything, but love your neighbor. Not just love your neighbor as yourself. The same way that you care for yourself and people like you, love and care for people that same way. Don't have a double standard. Love others. So Westwood Church exists not just to love God, but to love others. Love others who are right here, right now, in this auditorium. Love others who are in the city, who are in our country, who are in our world. Love people who are like us. Love people who are not at all like us, who don't even believe in the God that we believe in, or maybe believe in a different God, or maybe we don't like them because socially or personality-wise, it's like, oh, okay, it's just kind of awkward being with them. It doesn't matter. Love others. The third reason we exist as a church comes from the last words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, and kind of a final command or a final charge he gives to people who follow him. And this is what he says. Basically, it's really, really simple. Make disciples. What's a disciple? A disciple is someone who loves God and loves others. We exist not just to love God and love others, but make disciples and encourage people to love God and love others. And they, in turn, encourage other people and make disciples who love God and love others. And you see how the whole thing works. That's why Westwood Church exists. But there's one other important thing, very, very important. If we don't have this part, the rest of it's almost pointless. You are Westwood Church. This isn't Westwood Church. Those chairs you're sitting in isn't Westwood Church. This building isn't Westwood Church. The budget, the infrastructure, all the things that we do, that's not Westwood Church. This is just the place Westwood Church happens to meet. If this were to burn down and we had to go somewhere else, Westwood Church would still exist because we're a bunch of people who get together and say, hey, we want to love God, we want to love others, we want to make disciples. We just happen to meet here. This is not Westwood Church. You can't actually drive down Ospica and point to Westwood Church. You can drive down Ospica and point to the building that Westwood Church gathers in on Sunday morning at 8:30, at 10, and 11:30, or some other, you know, thing that's going on during the week. But you and I are actually Westwood Church, which means our purpose is to love God, love others, and make disciples. So how do we do that? Well, again, if you were that kind of keener person, you can go on our website and find all these values. I want to just highlight one this morning, one that seems to be, in my mind, more relevant right now. I'm going to talk about why. We have lots of values. One of them has to do with the Bible, though, and or Scripture, or whatever you want to call it, the Word of God that we are so focused on as our foundation. And to do that, let me read just a couple of verses from the book of Hebrews in the New Testament. And as I read it, you'll figure out what it says. It's pretty clear. Here's what it says. For the Word of God, or the Bible, Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever, you know, language or whatever you want to have, the Word of God, and this is where it gets very cool, is alive and active. There is something living in some way, some spiritual, supernatural reality that the Word of God, the Bible, is actually alive and active and living in some spiritual capacity. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Listen to the picture that kind of unfolds here. It penetrates, even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Some way and somehow, this Bible that we can go to the store and look at a shelf and there's 15 different copies, and you, on your app, on your phone, you can download 29 different versions. Somehow, that book is different than any other book, and it's alive and it's active because it is the Word of God. If you're ever wondering why, if you keep on coming as Westwood week after week after week, and we stand up here and we teach from the Bible week after week after week, and you go, aren't you tired of teaching from the Bible? Like, why do you keep on doing that? This is one of the reasons why, because this core fundamental belief that somehow the Word of God is alive and active, and you can actually discover and encounter God in it and through it. One of the things that has kind of stirred me lately, last few months, is this kind of growing sense that, or question, that have we actually, not just the Western church, but even just our particular church in specifically, have we maybe, or are we starting to drift away from that? We'd all say yes, maybe we wouldn't, but some of us would say yes, we believe that to be true. But the way we do church, have we drifted? So what we're going to do for the next few weeks is when we do our teaching times, we're going to go totally old school, and we're going to have no PowerPoint, no nothing. I'm not going to have a remote, which would be confusing for me, but I'm going to have just the Bible, and Craig is too, because we're the two who are doing this series. We're going to have just the Bible, and we're going to invite you to do just the same thing. No PowerPoint, no pictures, no video. Those things are amazing, and from a teaching perspective, I love those things. In fact, I depend on those things. So making the statement that we're going to be just the Bible and actually count on and actually depend on the Word of God being alive and active, because we have no other hope to have this be powerful, we're going to do that, and it's going to mean I'm going to have to change my teaching style because I depend on PowerPoint. It means that Craig and I are going to have to become better communicators because we're not going to use all those other tools. As good as they are, we're going to take them off the table for a short period of time to kind of symbolically call us back to this belief that the Word of God is somehow alive and active. And I'm really excited about that. So what you need to hear from that is next Sunday, bring your Bible, because you're going to need it. On your phone, tablet, a real physical Bible, whatever, we'll have a bunch of Bibles here. If you don't have one, you can just have one of ours. We can do that, but bring a Bible, because we're going to try to live out one of our values in a fresh way for a few weeks this fall, and I'm totally looking forward to that. So the next question, though, is, this isn't the next question. Speaking of our series, these are the next two series that we're doing this fall. So if you're here wondering what's going on, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at a series called Worship, When All of Life Points to God. If you or I think that worship is something that happens when there's a certain number of people on the stage doing a certain number of things and you participate in a certain way, if that's what you think worship is, you're wrong. That's a portion of worship. Worship is bigger, way more powerful than that. That is an incredible experience of worship, but worship is more. So we're going to spend 4 weeks looking at what worship really is in its full extent. I'm looking forward to that. And then after that series, we'll do a six-week series, which I think will be very interesting, Hearing the Voice of God. Now, some of you hear me going, hearing the voice? No one hears the voice of God. Or you may be going, oh yeah, there's 10,000 dysfunctional ways to hear the voice of God. And I know people who hear the voice of God, right? And they do. And so we're going to wind our way through all that. 2 points we're going to do. We're going to debunk some common myths about hearing the voice of God. But bigger than that, each of those 6 weeks, we're going to look at one specific way that it actually is possible to hear the voice of God. So I'm really looking forward to that series too. So make sure you're here for that. Now, this, again, kickoff Sunday, so we're kind of, you know, people are coming back after summer and getting ready to go do whatever we're doing, school or work or this or that or whatever. I think it's important also to ask the question, so who actually does what around here? If you have questions, if I have questions, who do we talk to? Who's responsible for what? How does this whole thing work? And in a really quick picture, again, if you're a nerd or keener, you can go online and our website and find out whatever you want. But here's the basic model that we work with. At Westwood, our kind of core thing is are these three areas: gather, groups, and go. There's more, but this is the core. We want to be a church that gathers together on Sunday morning. So we don't have a separate youth church. We used to, but we don't anymore. Our kids ministry has been changed so that the majority of kids can actually join us on a Sunday morning. We want to be together and worship and teach and all that kind of stuff together, and that's Sunday morning. Then the second part is our groups. We have just about 50 groups, small groups that meet all throughout the city in different times and places and all that kind of stuff, because we have a belief that real transformation, the really good stuff, the long relationships and the nitty-gritty of life and the really fun times actually happen in group settings. So Sunday morning is awesome, but if you really want to encounter God and experience transformation, groups are the best. So we have a whole pile of those that we have throughout the whole year in different places. And then the third piece is go. We don't want to be a church that's just all about us gathering together in groups. We take Jesus seriously. We want to go into the world and make a difference. Go across the hallway to help in ministries here. Go across the street, across the city, across the country, across the world, whatever we want to go. But there's two more pieces, because those three are great, but they can't work and they don't work in isolation. We also have a big circle called administration. You know, all this stuff that we have that we take for granted, lights and heat and chairs and all that kind of stuff, that didn't just magically appear, right? Someone has to take care of it, and the human resources in the budget to manage all this stuff. So that's a key part. And then the last one is a new piece that we added within this last year called congregational life. How do we celebrate together? How do we grieve together? How do we pray together? How do we care for each other together and even one-on-one? And so we launched a whole new ministry area around that. So those are our big five areas. And what I want to do now is just have each one of our pastors and leaders for each one of these five come up in just 3 minutes, kind of say, here's what we do, and here's what we're looking forward to this year. So the first one is Rob Larson.
Good morning. So as Mark said, I am the church administrator. And I work with the pastors and the board of elders to support all the many ministries and events that help carry out our mission, vision, and values. And I consult with the finance committee and help spend the money. Also, of course, I need to put all of that through the board of elders if there are some important decisions that we make concerning the building and the various missions we support. I also work very closely with the office support staff, and without them, we would be lost. So they include Dawn Peters, who is our receptionist and administrative assistant. So she does a ton of work for us, but she's also the person that when you call here, she answers the phone and directs your calls. And she also is the person that you see when you first come into the building and come into the office area. Just a wonderful person to work with. Tara McGuire, as Mark said, that we have to look after this building, and Tara helps me look after lots of the maintenance and those kinds of things, but she also is very important in terms of making sure that we use our facility properly and everything gets put back in its place. You probably don't know that, or many of you might know, but some of you probably don't know, there was a big conference here Friday and Saturday, and she made sure that everything is back where it is today. There were tables in here. There was all kinds of stuff that needed to get replaced. So Tara does an incredible job of managing the facility for us. Melanie Pierce, if you see any signs around our building or the beautiful PowerPoint pictures for announcements, those kinds of things, Melanie is the person that does that, and she works really hard with pastors as well to do any kinds of jobs that they need to get done. Corinne Weeb is our bookkeeper, so she makes sure that all the bills are paid, and she makes sure that we do everything properly so that it's done right. And Simone Iacovu is our custodian, so she was here busy last night after the conference cleaning things up and making sure it's beautiful for us on a Sunday morning and beautiful for us during the week as well. So I'm really excited by the many changes that have happened over the past few years here at Westwood and continuing to make us a growing, stronger church. It's great to see all ages, right from little kids all the way up to seasons, being developed as disciples and being part of a church that encourages growing in our understanding of the Bible and how to bring Jesus into the lives of others. So I really want to challenge you to be part of this wonderful experience and get connected, whether it's by volunteering, being part of a whole, life group, or by looking for ways to bring Jesus into the lives of anybody that you come across. So thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Joel Cross is our pastor of Gather Ministries. So come tell us what you do, Joel.
Check.
Just so we're sure.
I tell people to turn the mics on.
Yeah.
I turn them off. Yeah, I'm the gathering pastor, which is another funky word for worship pastor, minister of music, all kinds of different titles I get. But some of the things I look after, the music teams, obviously, the tech teams, and hospitality, some of the stuff you see, kiosk, the coffee that we get every Sunday morning, and also I have a team that does breakfast on around 7 o'clock. They're here making breakfast for a team that provides you with three services. So we're so happy to have them, and the tech team loves them because they get to eat and they rub their tummies and they feel nice and warm inside in the mornings, and that's why they do such a good job. Don't turn my mic off. Anyways, but the reason why we gather is we're a family. We want to get together. We want you guys to meet each other. We want to be encouraging to each other. And we strive really hard to plan a dynamic service. And we want everyone that comes through the doors to feel an atmosphere of love, encouragement, a safe environment. And you guys provide that. I love this church. It's so nice to come to a church where people are smiling. They're happy to be here. You guys serve so well. We just have a fantastic church, and that's why we have more people coming, and that's why we have to make room, because God is moving here, and it's because of you guys. We're so thankful for that. And we just want to encourage you to continue to strive to make room for other people. And one of the things that when I look at Sundays, I look at it, I don't know if this is a good analogy or not, but I'm going to try it. I look at it as a sporting event, because most people are excited to come to a sporting event. They come and they want to hang out, they want to get involved, they're cheering people on. So that's kind of what the worship is. We get to come and sing and cheer God and experience His presence. And it's a common experience that people have. And we're so excited that you come on Sunday mornings, and we want to continue to do that. And if you have any ideas on how we can improve on our services, come and talk to me. And if you have a concern, come and talk to me, because I want to get to know you. And the only way, sometimes we're the last ones to know some things, and we want to make this service very broad range for everybody. So thank you so much for making this a great place for my kids to come, and we just want to continue to do that. One of the things I want to challenge you on is, are you excited to be a Christian? Wow, it's dead in here. Did you hear what I said? For those Christians, are you excited to be a Christian?
Yeah. Yes.
I am. That's for sure. And I want you guys to be excited when you come to church, because when you come excited, you come anticipating. And God seems to do things when you come anticipating to see what He does, and you're excited to be here. I want to encourage you to do, if you're not excited to come to church, come and talk to me. Or join a small group, because that's another area where God can really move in your lives. And we just want to serve you and make this church the best place to come on Sunday mornings and different ministries. But like I said, I want to challenge you, come to church excited and see what God can do. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Joel. Craig, our pastor of group ministries. What you may not know about Craig, well, you may not know lots of things about Craig, but I'll keep them secret,
yes.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
Is that this last month, and we didn't acknowledge it last month because there's a whole lot less people here in August, but Craig has just finished, I shouldn't say finished, yeah.
Well.
Craig has now completed 20 years of being a pastor here, which is a pretty big deal, 20 years in ministry in one pastor, as one church. I wasn't implying
no,
anything.
No, I
there.
Know. We kept it secret because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, what, did he start when he was 15? Right? Anyways, this is, when you go on the website, we have our staff photos up, and we each say Westwood, I can't remember what the title is, but I'm at Westwood because this is my family, and this has been a wonderful place to grow in Christ, to grow as a leader, and just to be a follower of Jesus together with you. So thank you for that. I am the group's pastor, and what that means is it's really easy right now for someone to come in here and hide. And I remember I met a lady a couple of years ago. She'd been attending here 8 years. She'd never met me. I'd never met her. She didn't know I was a pastor here, which is weird. But I'm like, I said, how long have you been here? She's like, 8 years. And so, you know, you can hide here for 8 years if you were wondering. But what we really want and what we need as followers of Jesus, as people exploring Jesus, we need to know one another and we need to be known by each other. We need to know God and be known by Him. And that's what groups is all about. And it takes a bunch of different formats, but what you'll see in each group, there's four elements basically that show up in each group. One, we study and apply the Bible together and explore Jesus and how He changes our lives. We pray together, we have fun together, and we serve together. And those are some of the elements that you'll see in almost every group. And so we want to invite you to be part of that. And the primary way we have that is what we call life groups. That's the area that I oversee, groups of 6 to 20 people that meet together every week or every other week for those four things and to be a support and to build those relationships. Another thing we have is something called Celebrate Recovery, which is led by Barb Kroom, and you can talk to her outside afterwards. And it's a place to work through some of the hurts and habits and hang-ups that we have that keep us from progressing in our relationship with Jesus and in life. And so if you want more information on that, you can talk with Barb out at the back there today. We also have Seasons, which is for those of you who are, you know, maybe pushing the age bracket a little bit. You know, I'm 35 by what I just said earlier. I'm not. I'm 44. Okay, just so you know. Wow, hey? Anyways, sorry. But we want to invite you. Seasons is open to everyone, for people who've had life experience, but they want to invite everybody to be part of it. And you can talk to Rose and Lena, two wonderful leaders of that ministry. And finally, we have children's ministry. And Twyla Morgan is our children's ministry leader. And we have life groups for all of the younger ages. And we have discipleship programs for all of the ages. Up to grade 5, and invite you to check that out, and you can have more information there.
Thanks, Craig.
Yep.
And then Ryan is coming up, and Ryan has a blended role. He leads our Go Ministries, but also leads our youth ministries.
All right, so I'll talk about youth ministry since it goes along, it falls under groups first. One of the things that has been happening this past year is we've really been focusing with the youth about being discipled and then going and discipling others. And actually, many of them are taking up that challenge and are discipling other younger youth or are going out to their schools and are starting to talk to people about what it means to follow Jesus and that kind of thing. But as you journey with Jesus, not only do you disciple others, but you also need to be discipled. And so one encouragement I'd really love to give to all of you here this morning is you can be part of that discipleship process. I know not all of you are going to come and be small group leaders on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night at youth, but you can all have an impact on a kid's life. There's a recent study that came out, and it talked about one of the key factors in young people developing a strong faith is having 5 meaningful relationships with adults that model what it's like to follow Jesus. And so one thing I really encourage you, when you see our young people at church here in this building on a Sunday morning, or you see them out in the community or whatever, would you just talk to them, encourage them, ask them how their week's been, ask them how their relationship with Jesus is going, how you can pray for them? Would you do that? Would you just start to engage them and to start to build relationships with our young people? Because we need our young people in this church, and they need us. And so I just really encourage you to do that. And we are encouraging our youth this year. We're going to be encouraging them to be more and more missional and showing the love of Christ in their schools and inviting people to follow Jesus this year. The second thing that's part of my role is Go. And Go has to do with serving. One of the ways that we show love to others is actually by serving them. And so if we're going to love others well, then we need to serve others. And so that can include serving here at Westwood. That can include serving in our community. That can be serving somewhere even in another country. So that covers our missionaries and things like that. And so there's a few exciting things coming up in GO that I just want to highlight quickly. One of them is we have the privilege of sponsoring two schools for school supplies. We have Westwood, which is just across the field here that we get to sponsor this year, and also Spruceland. And so one of the things that you can do is you can just bring school supplies or donate money so that we can purchase school supplies so that we can help kids that don't necessarily have the proper things that they need to get a good education, so we can supply them with those school supplies. Another thing is there's been a lot of buzz and a lot of people talking about what can we do when it comes to the Syria crisis that's happening in the world. A lot of people are asking about that. Well, there's two ways that you can help with that. One of the ways is that we are actually in the process of sponsoring refugee families from Syria to actually come to Prince George. And we're still in the process of going through all the government hoops that you have to go through and filling out all the paperwork, and we're all going through all that process. But we hope that we don't know exact timelines, but we're hoping within a year that we might have one of these refugee families here. And so if you'd like to know, well, what can I do to help prepare for them to come and to receive them, and what can I do once they're here, talk to myself or Carol Ardell, if you know Carol. If you don't know Carol, talk to me, and I can introduce you, and we can show you how you can be involved in that way. But the second way that you can be involved immediately is we have the Mennonite Fall Fair coming up. And this year, the majority of the funds that we raise from that Mennonite Fall Fair, which is on September 26th, I believe, that goes to supporting the work that MCC is doing in Syria, the relief work that they do with the displaced people who have been moved out of their homes but haven't actually fled the country yet but are not in their homes. They're displaced. And so MCC does a lot of great work with them, helping them maintain getting a good education, food, clean water, helping them have access to those kind of things. And so one of the ways that you can help with the crisis in Syria is just saying, hey, I'll sign up for some shifts for the Fall Fair and help out in that way. That would be a huge way that you can help out and support the work that MCC is doing in Syria. So.
Thanks, Ryan. And then Holly's going to come up and talk about a position that we've created within this last year called Congregational Life.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning again. Congregational Life, some of you may have heard a bit more about it, and some of you may have no idea what that means. And part of why it was created, if you look and you just heard about Gather Groups and GO, it's working. Like, obviously, nothing's perfect, but it's working smoothly. Like, people are joining life groups. People are getting connected. People are hearing the word. People are growing in community. People are serving inside Westwood, inside Prince George, across the world. Like, so much is happening there. But we also know that how do we connect people through those areas, and also how do we care for people as they're experiencing these ministries. And so that's kind of how Congregational Life was birthed. Some of the things in it were sort of on the side of some of our plates, and we all know what happens when there's not direct ownership for something. It sort of stays over on the side. So these ministries that fall under Congregational Life are care, prayer, and connection. And a lot of them are internally focused, which sounds horrible and totally out of sync with our mission. But the reason that they're internally focused is because in order to love God and love others and make disciples, we also need to be healthy ourselves. We need to be cared for and equipped and ready to go out. And so the care ministry exists to help Westwooders be cared for in times of need, whether that's an illness or an injury or a death in the family or a spiritual crisis or whatever it happens to be. That's why that ministry exists. And the leaders of that ministry are Dell and Sylvia Reinheimer. And I think they're in here if they just want to wave their hands. They're very shy, but yes, they're over there. So if you have questions, they'll be in the foyer after the service to talk to about that ministry as well. And we have also a prayer ministry, which hasn't existed much. We've had little things here and there, and obviously we pray. Each of our ministries has a prayer component. But we also want to come together corporately to pray, and we want to desperately pray, and we want to call on the Holy Spirit, and we want to be sensitive and allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And one of the ways we do that right now corporately anyway, is through an event called Deeper. And we've done them in the past, and we did them a little less frequently. Starting this fall, we're doing them monthly. We want to kind of create that rhythm of prayer and have folks, even if you don't go to your life group that week, rather your life group comes together to do that, kind of creating that rhythm of prayer together, even in your smaller community of a life group or your family or your friends or whatever that looks like for you. And we would just love to see that grow and blossom. Like, we're starting there, but we would love to see that grow to where when we get together for Deeper, we're filling this church with people calling out to God and seeking His direction as we serve. Because we know that none of these ministries mean anything if God isn't behind them all. So that's how we'd love to see that ministry grow as well. Also, we have our connection ministry, and many things fall under connection, including the actual connection of people who've come in the door for the first time or who have been here for 20 years but need still to be connected. Also, we want to celebrate things together. We want to celebrate things that are faith events and life events, like baptisms and new members and child dedications, and just celebrating God together and coming together corporately to do that outside of a Sunday morning. So look for some things to happen there. As part of the Connection Ministry as well, we have the Ushering Ministry, and Warren and Aaron Lemke lead that ministry, and they'll also be available out in the foyer after the service to talk to. But we're excited about this new ministry that just started up this spring, and we are kind of at the ground building things up, and it's a great time to have input and to hear from you, and we would just love to see this happen. Like we talked about, the vibrant prayer life, the care ministry, where everybody who needs care inside Westwood's walls receives it, and everybody who's able to help by providing some form of care is giving it, and also a connection ministry where everyone who comes into Westwood, again, whether it's their first time or they've been here 20 years, has that opportunity to connect and experience true community. And all of that happens so that we can focus on the three things Mark mentioned: loving God, loving others, and making disciples. So come talk to us in the foyer. Thanks.
Thanks, Holly. As the worship team comes up, if you didn't know before, you now know what we're all about. And we are all about loving God, loving others, and making disciples. And you are all invited and almost expected to be part of the journey with us. So let's go on that journey together. And next week, remember to bring a Bible, because you're going to need it.